We're more than 20 sermons into our series on the book of Romans, and this series has a subtitle that's called A Testament of Faith in Action, because Romans is a manifesto of Christian thought and behavior. And for 11 chapters, Paul has been laying this foundation for things that we believe. His major emphasis has been on that we are saved by grace, that we are sustained by grace, that we are nothing without God's grace. And he spends 11 chapters then building this case for grace, explaining how it works in our lives and how it transforms our relationship with God and how it should influence us then through our everyday activities. Now in chapter 12, Paul begins talking more specifically about behavioral matters. And for the next 5 chapters, Paul is going to discuss the do's and don'ts of Christian living. And as a transition from the previous section then, Paul begins by challenging us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. How we think is vital to how we live. A Christian thought life is supremely important. And in these remaining pages of Romans, we discover something about living the Christian life. And it has more to do with how we treat others than anything else. We already know the importance of words such as holiness and obedience and faithfulness and repentance. Paul reminds us that the key words for the Christian living also include words like love and unity and tenderness, thoughtfulness, compassion, and mercy. You cannot live the Christian life without demonstrating then these qualities to others. And this is why Christianity is not an extreme sport, though it's often more dangerous. You know, extreme sports are all about individual activity, ice climbing and rope climbing and snowboarding and skateboarding and hang gliding and skydiving and bungee jumping. And these are all great fun to watch, but these activities have one thing in common. They're about individual participation. Christianity doesn't fall into that category. It requires extreme commitment, but in the final analysis, it is a team sport. Now, in the early days of Christianity, some believers took an extreme sports approach to the Christian life. It became for a man then to go out by himself, to live alone in the desert, just him and God. And if he was really extreme about it, he didn't take a coat or a blanket or a weapon to protect himself against the wild animals. And he didn't pack a lunch. He just went to live in the desert for months or years at a time. And if he was really, really, really extreme, he slept standing up. This is a radical approach to Christian living. And those who went this route made something of a name for themselves, and they garnered some type of reputation for themselves, but they missed the mark. When it comes to full and complete approach to discipleship, it's not isolation. Christianity is a team sport. It cannot be fully expressed in solitude. Christianity isn't about I and me and mine. It's about us and we and ours. You live the Christian life in a group setting. You live in a family atmosphere. It's an extreme sport, so to speak, but it's also a team sport. And so this evening we're talking about 3 things that you can do to cultivate this team extreme mentality. First of all, we need to learn to lighten up. Verse 3 here of chapter 12. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment. It's always refreshing to meet those people who don't take themselves too seriously. Pastors, athletes, you know, school teachers, assembly line people, sometimes take themselves too seriously. And this is what Paul is saying to us and urging us not to do. He says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. You know, lighten up a little bit here. Now, there's a story about Benjamin Franklin when he's visiting the home of this Puritan preacher by the name of Cotton Mather. Cotton Mather was well known during colonial days, and it left, in fact, his theological markings are still with us to this day. But as Benjamin Franklin was on his way out the door after visiting with Cotton Mather, Cotton said to him, "Stoop, stoop." Well, Franklin didn't hear him in time, and he banged his head on this low beam near the door. And Mather spoke. He says, "Franklin, you're young. You have the world before you. Stoop as you go through it, and you will avoid many hard thumps." And Franklin wrote, "That advice has been useful to me. I have avoided many misfortunes by not carrying my head too high in pride." It's a good thing to get in the habit of reminding yourself every day that the world doesn't revolve around you, that you're not the center of the universe. Learn to lighten up a bit. Don't take yourself too seriously. And this is how you get started in cultivating this team extreme mentality. Now, the second thing is focus on fitting in. And I want you to know that this phrase, focus on fitting in, doesn't come easily to me. You know, I've never been one to follow the group. I want to pave my own way. I want to make my own mark. And I'm an individualist with a capital I. And I think that's the American way, isn't it? Now, you could say Paul was an individualist too, but he was an individualist who never worked alone. He was the ultimate team player, traveling with others, travailing with others, training others to follow his example. Paul's life was all about his relationships. And we'll see this in the final chapter of Romans. Almost all of it is dedicated to notes and personal comments to friends and fellow workers. An important aspect of living the Christian life is to find your place on the team, to find where you fit in, to apply yourself to serving others. Paul said this in verse 4 here, "Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." A baseball legend, Cal Ripken Jr., was asked about his view of success. Now, he was one of the greatest individual players in baseball history. But what mattered most to him during his career was succeeding as a team. And he said, "I'd much rather be referred to not as an individually great player or someone who tore up the record books, but someone who came to the ballpark and said, 'Okay, I'm here, I want to play. What can I do to help us win today?'" And the Ripken goes on to say that when people ask him, "What was your greatest play, your accomplishment?" He answers, "I caught the last out of the World Series." And he says that it wasn't a great catch. He didn't have to dive into the dirt. He didn't do a cartwheel to throw out a guy at first base. It was a routine ground ball, a routine play that sealed the win for the Orioles. But it was made as part of a team effort, made by one out of nine players who played over the course of nine innings. And he says, "We all want to be part of something bigger, but we all have our little jobs that we have to do as a member of a team. Everybody has their individual responsibilities, but they all have to come together for a main goal, and that's to win. So the most fulfilling moment I could ever have again was catching the last out of the World Series, knowing that we did it." You are a member of the body of Christ. You have a role to play. You have a function to perform. And this is where you'll find your greatest satisfaction, in working with others, in contributing to the success of the whole team, so to speak here. So find your place and fit in. You know, Paul's use of the body metaphor for the church is a good one, because You know that there are no unimportant parts to the body. You know, for years they used to tell us that the appendix has no use whatsoever. And then this last month, the breaking news is, hey, there has been a use for the appendix after all. We finally figured it out. And of course, we did wonder why God would put something in there that just didn't matter at all. But he didn't do that. But think of your toe, maybe it's just your pinky toe. I saw a gentleman yesterday who came to the funeral, and he was limping. And I said, what's the matter? And he said, well, I broke my toe. I was walked around on it for 3 weeks, and I went to the doctor, and he told me I broke my toe. He said if I would have waited 2 more weeks, it would have been healed. But he was in lots of pain walking around, but it was just his toe. But see how important that toe is. Think your fingernails are insignificant? Now see what happens when you clip one too closely, you know? Every part of your body is vital, though we sometimes don't notice it until that part isn't functioning properly. You know, we're getting to that time of year that you're going to be sharing colds, and you're going to have respiratory problems. And take a deep breath right now, because, you know, in a short time you'll have one of those colds and you'll wonder, what did it ever feel like just to breathe nice and free and easy when it wasn't stopped up? It's the same way with the body of Christ. Many times your contribution doesn't receive the recognition that it should. But it's difficult to get along without you. You are encouraged to find the place where you fit in and do what you're called to do, even when you don't get the credit that you deserve. That's part of what being a team player is about. Now, here's the third step to cultivating a team extreme mentality. Identify the something plus. William Barclay, he wrote many a commentary. And in his commentary on Romans, he says, a man might toil for a lifetime and never acquire the gift of putting his thoughts on paper in a vivid and intelligible way. Another, without effort, sees his thoughts grow on a sheet of paper in front of him. And the second man has that something plus, which is the gift of God. You have a something plus. You have a special gifting from God that comes naturally to you. It's something you can cultivate, but it's not something that you can initiate. That initiation comes from God. God says this through Paul in verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. Now, what have we learned so far about grace? Yeah, it's a gift. It's not something that you earn or deserve. It's something that God gives you. Your gifts, whatever they aren't something that you brag about. You know, there's something to accept and to use for the glory of God and for the service of others. There's an acronym that is used in marketing. It's USP. It stands for Unique Selling Point. And the idea is that a company is trying to market a specific product, and they look for one thing that distinguishes it from all the others. Enterprise. You know, the car rental company, they identify their USP with the fact that they come and pick you up when you rent from them. At one point, Burger King identified their USP as flexibility, you know. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce, special orders don't upset us. You know, at Burger King, you can just have it your way. You know, the unique selling point for Ajax was that it turned blue when they poured it out in your sink. That means it cleans better than Comet for some reason. You know? Marketeers strive to find that unique selling point for every product they sell. And if they can't find one, they make one up. Because that's how marketing works. I want you to realize, however, that you have a USP also. There's something unique about you, a special gift that God has given you that enables you to accomplish things for His glory in a unique way. In Romans 12, Paul mentions several different types of gifts. And the list isn't exhaustive. It's intended as an example. And he includes some high profile types of gifts such as prophesying and teaching and leading others. He also includes other types of gifts such as giving and encouraging others and showing mercies. Now, these gifts may not put you in the spotlight, but they're all necessary in the body of Christ. Think about it. If you have the ability to encourage others, you have an important role to play. And I've said many times that I think that the gift of encouraging is one of the biggest gifts in the body of Christ. Because we all need to be encouraged, and there's so many things that would draw us down and cause us to, you know, feel bad. Just feel if we're not accomplishing anything. And somebody comes along and encourages you. What a gift that is. You know, if you're good at giving folks a second chance, you have an important role to play in the body of Christ. If you get a kick out of being generous, you have an important role to play in the body of Christ. Identify that something plus that God has given you, the unique selling point that qualifies you to make the contribution to the body of Christ that only you can make, and then do it. You know, if you allow the metaphor, Christianity is an extreme sport. It requires extreme commitment on our part, but it's also a team sport. It's one that we play together. Christianity isn't about individual accomplishment. It's about serving one another in love. The Christian life has more to do with how you treat others than anything else. And together, we need to cultivate a team mentality. This is the area where the Christian life is lived out.